Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We want to see you. Open the ears of our hearts. Help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have a seat. Everybody have a good Sunday. I marvel every time we are gathered in session at the wisdom of this schedule going from midweek to midweek, and so you actually get a real Sabbath kind of catching of the breath in the middle of the whole thing, and it's very helpful. I'm always very grateful for it. It helps reinvigorate us as we get a little bit worn out from the rigorous schedule. Following on in the story where we've been, thinking about the early years of Jesus, hear these words from the second chapter of Matthew. Now, after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've always been fascinated by the story of the flight into Egypt under cover of the night. And I want us to think about what, if you can kind of put yourself in that space and try to picture in your mind's eye that exit, fleeing for safety to be hidden there by the Lord for a while, and try to imagine what this little family might have been going through when they got to Egypt. And I'd never really thought about this for many years until about a year or two ago. But imagine this little family being hidden in Egypt, found themselves all of a sudden an ethnic and religious minority. They came from a place where they fit right in. They blended right in. They were part of the ethnic majority. Although it was an occupied country, they were part of an ethnic majority, and they were part of a religious majority. And all of a sudden, the tables were turned. Now, we don't know exactly, precisely how long they were there, but it's reasonable to think from the gospel narrative that at least would have been a couple of years, maybe longer. And so you have this family all of a sudden dealing with all of those dynamics of being a cultural, ethnic, religious minority. And all the stuff that always comes with that: prejudice, ostracism, exclusion, maybe cruelty. And sometimes it's inadvertent, but it happens. Think about the child. Think about Jesus. All of a sudden, now this little bitty guy is growing up in a place that really is a hostile environment. Did he have memories of that? Did he gather memories of being mistreated, ostracized, or sensing his parents dealing with that? Was he old enough to have been out playing, wanting to play with other kids, and find himself as an ethnic, cultural, religious minority, and suffer that sometimes inadvertent, cruel treatment that kids can do to each other? And I wonder if he didn't find himself in Egypt, experiencing what the prophet had foretold that I've always associated with what happened to Jesus much later. He was despised and rejected by people. I suspect that they might have experienced being despised and rejected. Even if he was quite young, I suspect that he had memories of this as he grew older. Have I told you about my 3-year-old twin granddaughters? If I haven't, you've really missed a blessing, and I've really missed a blessing. Their names are Adria and Emily, and they live about 15 minutes from us, and so we get in lots of baby time, and it's a lot of fun. But I've been relearning about little kids by watching them. Now, last summer, July the 4th, we got together with them to go see fireworks, like we always do. Shortly before the 4th, we were picking up Adrian and Emily to keep them one evening so our daughter and son-in-law could have a date night. And as we drove from their home to ours, this is a couple of weeks probably before July the 4th, we drove past a little church where we had parked in their parking lot the year before on July the 4th to watch the fireworks. Now, so far as I know, this had never been mentioned in the whole year since we watched fireworks in that parking lot together. At 2:30, Emily sit in her car seat in the back as we pulled up to the red light, paused at the red light by this church parking lot. She pointed and started talking about fireworks, mumbling something about fireworks. At 2:30, she could remember seeing the fireworks in that parking lot a year ago, when she was 1.5 years old. That's why I propose to you that however young Jesus was when they left Egypt and went back to Nazareth, he could have had memories of cruel treatment, of ostracism, of being despised, of being rejected, of being one that was sort of out of sync with the rest of the group. My youngest daughter, the one who doesn't have children yet, and we're doing our best not to pressure her on that issue. But our youngest daughter's name is Chelsea. Shortly before we moved to Nashville in the late 80s, we had moved into a neighborhood in Houston. We'd lived there for a few years that I was really excited about. For one thing, it was quite close to our office. My wife was excited about it because the homes were accelerating in value. They were appreciating, and so she thought we'd have something to sell and have some more equity, which was good. But the thing that I liked about it, where we grew up in Houston, where I had grown up, it was such a lily white area. We virtually had no friends that had a different color skin than we did. But the neighborhood that we had gotten to move into was very diverse ethnically. And it just had to do with what was going on in Houston, and especially this area in Houston at that time. It still was about 50% Anglo. We were still in the majority, of course. But it was about, I guess, if you took 25%, about another 12 to 15%. If you took 25%, another 25% would have been about equally divided African-American and Latino. The other 25% were various Asian people who were moving in, Koreans, Filipinos, Vietnamese. And I loved this because our kids, unlike us, our kids were getting the chance to grow up colorblind and not see any difference, at least the kind of difference that would be negative. And when Chelsea would say, "Can I go play at Weatherly's?" or "Can I go play here or there?" and name a kid, unless I had met this kid, I wouldn't have any idea what color they were, what color skin they were. Well, Chelsea got invited to a birthday party. She was about 7 at the time. And she said, so-and-so, and I can't remember the little girl's name, is having a birthday party. Can I go? And she said, sure. So we took her to buy a birthday gift for her little friend. And Janet dropped her off at the birthday party. And the house was just about 5 minutes from where we lived. And I'd been doing something at the house while Janet ran her over there. And so the phone rang about 15 or 20 minutes after Janet had dropped her off. And I could tell, and it was Chelsea, and I could tell that Chelsea was choking back tears. And she said, "Daddy, can you come and get me?" And I said, "Is everything okay? What's wrong? And She was choking back tears. Well, I tried to envision, I couldn't remember the little girl's name, but I knew that she was a Vietnamese girl. And I asked Chelsea, I said, Chelsea, are all the other kids speaking Vietnamese? She said, yeah, and the tears began to flow. And I said, well, that's okay. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll come and get you. Be there in just a minute. And I got in the car and went to get her. And we chatted about what was going on in her heart that day. And when I got there, she was the only white face in the yard. And the kids were all playing, and they didn't intend to hurt Chelsea's feelings. They loved her. That's why she'd been invited to the birthday party. But they all reverted to their comfort zone, speaking Vietnamese to each other. And so I had this wonderful, as our kids would have called it, a Cosby opportunity, you know, to Bill Cosby on Chelsea. And so I started talking to her. I said, you know what, Chelsea, what you've gotten to experience today is what they have experienced when they moved here. So often, they were in the middle of a room full of people all speaking English, and they've had to learn that language. And they didn't mean to hurt your feelings. They were just speaking the language that was comfortable for them to speak. And so she felt ostracized. She felt left out. She processed it, and it was really wonderful. It was beautiful to watch her do that. And so she still is growing up colorblind, but that was a painful thing along the way. Something that I think contributed to making her the person that she is. What about your memories? Think back to childhood, maybe some other time other than childhood. Did you ever have an experience where you found yourself, whether other people intended it or not, whether it had to do with your ethnic origin or not, whatever it had to do with, that you found yourself feeling despised and rejected in the group because you were out of step somehow? You didn't exactly fit in with the rest of the group. Well, we have to process these things. If you remember my quoting of Mark West the other day, our wills must be submitted to the Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. Our mind must be renewed by the washing of the water of the word. Our emotions must be expressed. And there are emotional things. Chelsea was going through a very emotional moment that she had to express and walk through in order to grasp what was happening and not end up with an injury or anger or bitterness or whatever. And as Jerry Borchert and I were talking after chapel the other day, after talking about these three things, he said, yes, and he said, and the memories must be processed. As these memories surface of having felt despised, having felt rejected, having felt lonely, ostracized, mistreated, whether people meant to or not, these things must be expressed and they must be processed. I want to call your attention to a very powerful verse of scripture in closing. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The word that's translated faults is frequently translated sin in various versions of the New Testament. But I love the translations that render it false, because if you look in a concordance, or those of you who read Greek, the word literally indicates a falling aside or a mishap. You know, if there's not a lot of light, you can stumble over something that you wouldn't normally stumble over. It can take you by surprise. Things can happen to you, and you can stub your toe, you can fall and break your arm, just because you stumbled. Because you fell aside, a mishap occurred. It's not necessarily a sin. It may just be something that happened to you. But the temptation sometimes is to actually sin about that. Chelsea could have formed a prejudice and been angry at Vietnamese people or any other kind of group where she had felt mistreated had she not had an opportunity to process. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I assume that the way our schedule usually goes, that tomorrow night there will be it's either tonight or tomorrow night, there will be a healing service here. If in our times of these discussions, and especially during the times of silence, if the Lord's been stirring up, as we've talked about Jesus' memories, especially as the memories of his younger years, if the Lord has been stirring up things in you here, please don't leave here without beginning to process them and to express them. You can get together with another sister or brother as is appropriate and confess that fault, that mishap, that falling aside, that thing that happened to you, and whatever bitterness or anger or however you may have dealt with it. And if you're prayed for, the Lord will do his part. There will be healing. Consider getting prayed for in the healing service tomorrow or asking your instructor. But process. We do not have a high priest who can't be touched by all these things, because he was tempted in every aspect just like we are. Yet he was without sin. And as you think back on his story, let the Holy Spirit sweep you up into his story. Even with all the hurts and anxieties and rejection and things that you've drug along, that we've all drug along in all of our stories, get swept up into his story and let him bring healing and wholeness into your story. In Jesus' name, amen.